Dr. Mark Malone from Advanced Pain Care on how the spinal cord stimulator blocks pain signals, bringing patients relief at last.
Spinal stimulation is an implantable device consisting of two tiny wires connected to a battery that are placed alongside the spine. These wires emit a tiny electronic signal that blocks the pain signal that travels on nerves.
Advanced Pain Care, 512-244-4272 or online, austinpaindoctor.com.
Matt and CJ. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my dial. The radio is tuned to KROX. Let's go.
Let's go. Technically, today is kind of our Friday. Kind of not. We still got to work tomorrow, but it'll be the fest. Oh, Matt.
Yeah, we got to work for two more days. What are you talking about? Yeah.
You're so anxious to hit a weekend that you just called a day.
2 days
in the middle of the work week.
Yeah.
I am, though. Man, I feel like 2 days in a row I've accidentally inflicted dumb harm and annoyingness on the Beardens. Again, like, there's no context in text. And I sent you something last night that pissed you off.
Oh, yeah.
Made you irate to where I had to call you and we had to clarify.
Oh, I was so... You sent me a text, and I was so angry that at... What was that, like 9 or 10 o'clock
at 9?
Yeah. I almost texted the bosses here at the building to tell them what's what.
Oh, I know, dude.
Simply because I misunderstood what you were saying to me.
Yes, and that's just, there's like no context.
I thought we were being jacked with hard, and I was like, there's no, absolutely no way.
There's no context in text, which is why I had to call you. But again, last night I was chilling with my fiance, having a great night. We're eating snacks, we're watching What We Do in the Shadows, and I'm on my laptop and I'm doing some show prepping and I'm trying to get ahead of the weekend so we have something to go for Friday and Saturday.
Awesome. Way to go. That's double time then.
But then I'm thinking of all these things that I've wanted to bring up and kind of sent you a list, and I guess the way you read it was like, oh, management's telling us we need to do this crap. That ain't happening. They've already jacked me around too much.
Well, I read it wrong, and also it wasn't completely clear. Look, I called you. Me calling you at night when you're in that state should be its own podcast, okay? Because do you remember when I stopped in the middle of it and I go, wait a minute, are you high right now?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You go, yeah.
Yeah.
and once I realized that you were in a state where you could barely speak, I was like, oh, okay, now everything makes sense.
Yeah.
Now everything makes sense. You had hit full relaxation mode, probably because you thought today was Friday.
Well, I'm also trying to do the thing where I drink less during the week when I don't need to.
Right.
And one of the easiest ways to do that
is to get super high.
Just get super high, dude. just to get baked. And you've known me a long time, and yeah. I've always been like a casual, maybe every now and then, weed person, and now I'm fully transitioning from alcoholic into weed person. And I love it because I was feeling...
I leaned into it.
I was feeling great last night. I was getting work done. To be fair, I did go back and read a lot of the notes for ideas and benchmarks and things I had. And I was like, this ass is terrible.
Yeah. That's a thing that happens. We can really open up your mind. Unfortunately, it opens up your mind to some pretty
really
bad ideas,
stuff.
Too.
Yeah,
it really does turn off your editor mode, and it's which is always nice. You get a second opinion when you get sober. There's a second opinion for your ideas.
I mean, there's some stuff you'll see, and it's the same. I'll have dreams now where I'm like, oh, that would be a great bit for Matt and I to do. I need to write that down, and I'll wake up and type it in my notepad.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I'm like, what convoluted piece of crap is this? Makes no sense.
I have woken up in the middle of the night having told a joke on stage. I'm doing stand-up on stage in a dream.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my God, what a genius joke and concept.
Yes,
and I will write it all down. And then in the remainder of my dreams to the morning, I can't wait to wake up. And my other dreams are just like, God, when you wake up,
great.
You've got
you're
this.
You're a star.
You send it to Comedy Central tomorrow.
You've created your magnus opus.
And then I will wake up and look at him like, what kind of hot garbage
is this?
Is my dream life writing jokes for? It is terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Needless to say, I think I'm going to... I'm going to put the phone in airplane mode. I'll keep the notes open, but the phone's going to start going in airplane mode when I'm doing a little puff puff pass.
Okay, and take me up on my offer. One of these nights, will you let me call you and record it when you're gone? When you're mentally gone, like last night.
Oh yeah,
I want, because we were doing a pretty funny show last night.
Yeah,
I was ripping on you really hard. And you kept saying, no, let's be serious. And then I just continued to rip on you. And it was very funny. And it was definitely mean-spirited. But I think you knew that I wasn't doing it for an audience. I was simply doing it, well, for me, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know I'm your buddy. I got your back.
Almost what you had recorded, because I was super giggly last night.
Yeah. Well, I had fun. It was a really nice conversation with you. I'm glad we talked. All right, let's move on before we get all I love you, buddy, on this show. I don't want to do that. There were two characters, and the character relationship is that you're an idiot and I make fun of you. And let's not start being nice to each other, okay?
Here's more from Matt and CJ. 101X.
Okay, a question for you, CJ. Would you be willing to let me look through the photos in your phone?
Yeah, I don't keep anything weird in there.
No. Article came out, the 9 photos you should always have in your phone. Picture of your peen, not one of them.
Nope.
Not one of them. But I have a feeling I could probably find that on your phone. You seem like the kind of guy that has one of those handy at all times.
No. It physically handy, but I don't keep memory or record of that on my phone.
All right.
I mean, it might be different if back in the day when I was single, you were looking through my phone. But I learned quickly doing work here and having to plug my phone into a computer. The first thing the MacBook does is bring up all your photos as it starts uploading.
I hear you.
So, yeah. I've learned from that.
Here's what's suggested. What are photos you think you should have on your phone?
Your spouse. Maybe
a picture of your spouse,
your kids,
a picture of your kids,
your dogs.
No, you're going in the completely wrong direction. First of all, driver's license or any kind of ID, a military ID, something like that.
I see your important stuff.
Yeah. Texas is actually one of the places that allows you, or at least they're doing like a test program right now, to have a digital ID. You can maybe add that to your phone. Another one that suggested, and now that I see this, I'm like, oh yeah, I should do this. Your car's license plate, a picture of your car's license plate. VIN number.
I actually do keep
auto
both
insurance
of those on my
card.
Phone.
I don't. Yeah. And you know how many times I go into some place, like a hotel or something like that, and they need your license plate number,
so
and I don't have it memorized, and then I'm like, I gotta walk back out there now.
Well, what I did is I took photos of them, and then I emailed it to myself, and then I just have, like, in my email, I'll search insurance card, VIN number, and it makes it pretty easy.
I took a picture of my car's license plate next to my peen just for size. Also, medical and dental insurance cards. Then, some good pieces of advice. If you rent a car, you should take a full walk around of the rental car, and then a full walk around when you're dropping it off.
Just videotaping it, making sure you don't
dang
something like that.
Yeah, that way if they try to come back to you and say, oh, you did this, you can say, no, this is a picture I have, and you can at least fight it in some way. And on that same note, I suggest you do that if you have an Airbnb or if you just, like, you know, you get a hotel room, something like that.
Yeah.
That seems excessive to me.
Yeah. It seems obsessive.
Well,
but, I mean, all it takes
I think the world is actually, the winners in the world are the obsessive ones. They seem to be the ones that are leading everything.
All it takes is one ding accusation or, you know, being charged for some stuff you didn't do. And then you're probably going to be a little more obsessed with making sure.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten anybody ever suggested that you were up to no good?
No. Always well behaved.
Always well.
Always
behaved.
Well behaved.
Ever found anything amazing in a rental place or in a rental car? Like something that got left behind?
No. They're very, very boring. I don't have any good rental car stories.
And no pictures of your peen anymore?
I know, dude. What's happened to me? I've gotten old.
You really have.
Yes,
dude.
I know.
You're supposed to be the fun one out of the two of us.
I once was.
Yeah.
And someday, glory days, man.
All right. Pull your pants down.
Okay. Here.
Let me get out.
So let's make sure we have a picture of my peen on your phone.
There we go. Oh, wait a minute. Awkward. Really awkward.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
A little throwback there.
Yeah. So a new study says that if you were a class clown in school, it's because you were really smart.
Did you bring that study in here because you were probably a class clown and you want to feel like you were smart?
You are halfway correct on that. I'm actually going to refute the study. I don't believe it. Okay. I don't think it's correct. Were you the class clown? I mean, obviously you're a professional stand-up comedian, but did any of that kind of start when you were in elementary school?
I was a cut-up, but not because I just was. I think I had some issues. I had some issues. Let's leave it that way.
I mean, that's kind of why I'm going to refute this in a way. It says in the article, humor is a key sign your kid is smart, and it goes on to talk about funny kids and class clowns essentially being little geniuses. But for me, it wasn't about being smart. It was about survival.
Yeah.
It was about, I had a written oral learning disability as a kid. My mom was an assistant teacher at my middle school. And then in third grade, I was the only white boy of two in a school. And that other kid was a relentless badass bully.
Was he really?
So the only way I survived a lot of like nightmares from elementary school to middle school was by being the class clown and being funny and making laughing my way out of getting my ass kicked.
Yeah,
getting in
I
fights.
Play a lot of those games too. I think a lot of us do.
Yeah, but it got me in a lot of trouble. But my favorite moment was the very first day of school. I had already been kicked out of one school, and then I had to go to this other school and had never ridden the bus before. And so I'm going to this school. I'm on the bus. I'm the new kid.
Kid out of school, and you're there because you got kicked out of the other school.
Got kicked out of the other school, so I thought I was tough ass, but I quickly learned I wasn't on that bus ride there. One of the dudes started calling me Bart Simpson because I had spiky hair and a rat tail.
Can I say something to you? It's kind of funny because I'm thinking of this picture I've seen of you from when you were younger, and it's not a bad name for you, dude.
Dude,
it's not a bad name for you.
I mean, I looked like Bart Simpson. I had the underbite teeth. I had spiky hair. And my cousin always had a bunch of shirts for bands like Rat and Poison and Bon Jovi. And he was, probably 10 years older than me, but I always wore those. So I always had shirts that looked like dresses, spiky hair, and thought I was really tough until I got to that school. They started calling me Bart Simpson, and I hated it. And I remember being out at recess, and the only other white kid in that school smacked me in the back of the head while running by. So I push him down, proceed to get the crap kicked out of me by a bunch of kids, put in ISS.
By the way, this is how lockup works.
You gotta be tough first, otherwise it's going to be bad. And when I got home that day, I was just like exasperated. My dad told me, he's like, you can't get into fights every single day because you're just going to get kicked out of another school.
Right.
So that's when I kind of took the Simpsons thing to another level. And I started performing as Bart. I started doing the voices. And all these kids freaking loved it. So I just became Bart Simpson and made friends with all them to where the thing was, hey, do Bart. And at recess, I would do Bart. I wasn't funny. I was funny, but I certainly wasn't a genius or smart because of it. I think it was just survival at that point. And it lasted through, high school.
That makes a lot of sense because in school I was very much the same. I was a little more Maggie Simpson for me. I was a little more Maggie or Lisa Simpson for sure. I was tiny. I never grew. I never grew until I got to like senior year of high school. So my nickname was always Little Matt, which is not, especially when you're trying to date, is not the best nickname to have.
No.
Little Matt.
Oh, God, right when you're hitting that age where you discover the opposite sex, maybe going through a little bit of puberty and I wasn't going through
any puberty. That's the thing. My subscription to puberty, I don't know if I missed a payment or what, but it did not show up. It showed up very delayed, very late. So I had to have the same kind of thing where you had to kind of use your mouth to get laughs, to keep somebody. And that's when I learned early on, if I can beat you to the punch, however you're going to insult me.
Yeah.
It shuts down your insults that you can use for me. Mm-hmm. And that, because I spent a lot of days coming home, bitching and moaning and crying. And my old man was just like, oh, God, my damn boy's crying. I can't have a crybaby boy in the house. you know, he grew up kind of, he grew up pretty tough.
Tough, yeah.
And so he was just like, you need to get over this, son. You're going to have to stop this.
That's so miserable because you can't even be safe at your own house.
Oh, hell
was
no,
the feeling.
Dude. It was going from one holy place to another. But then I learned, like, oh, and he was pretty good about just saying, well, look, let me see. How did the kids that I used to beat the S out of, what did they do for me to stop beating the S out of them? Oh, here's the thing, make fun of yourself. And I got pretty good after a while of learning how to.
Yeah, self-deprecating.
Yeah, when someone would stop you in the hall and they would say something like, whatever, you know, the F-get word got thrown around a lot. And I was really like, really? I got this sunken chest and this scoliosis shoulder and the best thing you can come up with is that? Like, really? Like, my hair looks like, I have a receding hairline at 14, and all you can come up with is F-get? And then that would get some laughs, and then that became sort of the thing. But, yeah, I still don't think it had anything to do with intelligence. It had to do with survival skills.
I'm glad you agree with me on this.
I think radio's better if we're fighting. But the article's dumb.
Yes.
We literally just were trying not to get punched every day, and that's why we learned how to tell jokes.
Yep.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So, I know it's ACL and OU weekend. A lot of focus on that. But, of course, it's also the beginning of, you know, a lot of other high holiday seasons happening, right? Halloween just around the corner, and, of course, we've got all the haunted houses opening up.
You love those. They're your favorite thing.
They are not, and you know that about me, but you know that my wife lives and breathes for them, and my daughter is quite the horror fan, so she's going to her first haunted house this year. What's the big haunted house that's right over here, not far from?
Man,
from
I don't remember because luckily I don't have to go to these.
Your fiance Lisa, she's not much into the stuff.
No, because she used to teach improv, and the last thing she ever wants to do is be around improv kids. So
now that is
she doesn't drag me out.
Now that is terribly, terribly accurate. yeah, my wife loves it. My wife loves the. I think it's called Nightmare Factory? Something
like that.
Yeah. And she loves going to the haunted houses. There's a new one I was reading about. It's called Bat City Scare Grounds.
Ooh.
And it's out in Buda. And it's actually outdoors. It's on like 15 acres.
Like a corn maze style kind of thing?
I don't know. I kind of like the idea if you just are randomly let go on 15 acres in Buda.
People just scare the crap out of you no matter where you wander off to. It's a choose-your-own-adventure haunted house.
What if it's just the residents of Buda that you have to see? Sorry, Buda. No offense.
Buda. Hey, man, my friend's a city councilman down there.
Good for him. I like the idea if you're just sent out on like 4 acres and you're walking through the trees and someone jumps out from like that. That's a more authentic, scary
experience than the cheaply constructed rooms that you walk through and someone has makeup and the lighting's strobing.
It's not for me. I don't find them horrible. My wife, she just loves them. She says they get her adrenaline going. My daughter's wanted to go for years and we've never let her go. So she's very excited that
she's at the age now where it's like,
oh, she's going to cry.
Go ahead.
She's absolutely going to cry.
Think so?
I think she's going to cry, and she's going to go get scared. She's going to cry and say,
have nightmares.
But my wife told her, she was like, hey, this is such an important thing to me that you're not allowed to screw up the good time. She's like, there is no, like, oh, go on without me or whatever. She's like, if you're going, you have to go through all three of them. I don't care how miserable you are. And I'm like, wow, that's some great parenting right there. He's like, look, you're going to be scared, damn it, just like your old man was scared. And so that should be interesting. And then fresh on the heels of that, the announcement came out today that you can already buy your tickets for Trail of Lights. Trail of Lights not opening for foot traffic again this year. It's going to be
drive-through
like last year.
Dude, that is the thing my fiance likes to do. And I don't want to knock Trail of Lights. Like, we had fun.
It's pretty lame.
But here's the deal. You go to the little lights, you get a corn dog, like it's a fair atmosphere. So you get some good food, you walk around, you ride the Ferris wheel. But I heard the drive-thru, and I don't want to knock Trail of Lights, it's an awesome institution, but we had some friends that went last year, and they said it was a nightmare. That you were in a line of traffic just to get in, because it's out at the Germania Insurance Amphitheater, right?
No.
It's somewhere else.
Well, that's not the Trail of Lights. That's a different thing.
It was just a nightmare.
Yeah, that's not
the drive through.
The Trail of Lights was handled. I now have to correct you because the Trail of Lights last year was handled pretty insanely well.
Okay.
You bought tickets for certain times, they put you in these lines, and it was
then,
I was shocked at how organized it was because you know, I don't want to look. Trail of Lights should be called Trail of Sad Dads. That's what it should be called. There's no dad who, at the end of a workday, can't wait to get home and go look at lights. I'm like, oh, really? Cardboard cutouts of the Peanuts gang again?
Now, yeah, the Trail of Lights decorations people, from the 70s that they're still using. And as you know, it's always easy to get in and out of Zilker Park, especially if there's something going on.
Well, I'm telling you, it is actually pretty easy with the way they, I the like drive-through. The drive-through better than the walk-through. Here's something I'm going to say. I know that sales staff is probably panicked right now because they're like, we're underwriters for the don't say anything bad about the Trail of Lights. Look, the Trail of Lights has gotten my money every single year for 15 years, and they're going to continue to get it because I'm married to the woman I'm married to. And guess what? Every dude out there knows what I'm talking about. No dude has ever been like, man, I wish I could go look at lights. You know what's awesome? Lights.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck, you want to go this weekend and go on my boat and go fishing? I was thinking about doing a blasting cast. Nah, man, I think I'm going to stick around looking at lights.
Go look at some lights.
But we go anyway because our families love it. Moms and kids love twinkly lights for some reason. I don't know what it is.
I told this Disney story about my fiance, and she said the same thing about the Trail of Lights in the past that she told me about Disney. And she's like, well, maybe you could take a little bit of shrooms or LSD or something. I was like, no, that sounds like a nightmare. That's not going to make it more exciting or fun.
It definitely happens. You can see who's out there doing that.
Yeah, some of our Nick Severino, comedy friends
are out there doing that. And they, you know, and then I had some friends who said, well, the drive-through version sucks because in the past you could at least have a beer or two.
Yeah.
You can still have a beer or two.
Yeah, you never been to a drive-through movie or a tailgate?
Yeah, I absolutely had a beer or two. In fact, at one point, I think Santa caught me and he just looked at me and was like, you've been a good kid this year. That's your gift. Don't worry about it, baby.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
The biggest news that is happening today is something that most people will not even notice. And I mean today's most viral story. Probably won't go viral.
Someone got kicked in the nuts, but they didn't video it?
That's the thing, is that that's what we're most interested in, is somebody getting kicked in the nuts or something happening to a celebrity.
On 6th Street.
But the biggest thing that's happened in the entire world has happened right here in Austin. We are the hub of the biggest news story because it has to do with science, and so most people do not care.
Boring!
I know.
Boring!
Old nerd Matt with his glasses. Hit it, maestro. Shout out to the folks over at the University of Texas at Austin's Cockrell School of Engineering's Walker Department of Mechanical Engineering and Texas Materials Institute at the University of Texas at Austin.
Ooh,
that is a
that's a lot to
mouthful.
Say.
I ran out of breath.
That just sounds like a nerd school right there.
It does, but here's the deal. Here's what they've come up with is it's called a hydrogel. It's a tablet that looks like the size of, an Oreo cookie.
Cures impotence.
See, that's where you're going. You immediately think the number one story has to do with Wang, and you think the most important thing that can happen is curing impotence. I can tell you that there are a whole bunch of women out there that do not feel that curing impotence would be the number one thing that we need to worry about. In fact, they probably think, hey, if you could make that thing soft more often, that would be the miracle.
Or stop having insurance cover those things.
Yeah, exactly. As much of a third of the entire world's population does not have access to clean drinking water. That's one of the things that spreads disease. It's one of the things that shortens lifespan. It's one of the things that makes people ill and keeps certain populations from ever being able to join the rest of really the civilized world is that not having access to that clean water. And this thing that, like I said, looks like an Oreo cookie, you can throw it into essentially, I think, a big old like, one tablet can disinfect a liter of just any kind of gross water and make it suitable for drinking in an hour or less. You throw this tablet in there and you can take any kind of water. So the problem is that you know... Life straws are expensive, and they only can really help one person.
And do they really work that well?
Life straw? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it does.
Yeah, yeah. You just dip it in the river and just drink it. It's got the filter.
But for these places, a lot of them are hard to reach. You can't take a lot of equipment in there, or whatever. But you could literally from a helicopter drop a bag of these cookies, these tablets that would go into the water. And I don't understand the science behind it. I am not a smart person. I have a hunch kind of back. I don't sit up straight. And I drink too much long neck beer product to ever be smart. But this stuff basically, it's called a hydrogel, and it essentially mixes with water to produce its own amount of disinfectants, hydrogen peroxide, and stuff that can neutralize all the bacteria at an effective, here's the efficiency rate, 99.99999, meaning they can they can turn really bad bacteria-infected water and turn it into something good. It requires zero energy input, doesn't create harmful byproducts. And then the hydrogels can be easily removed, and they don't leave any residue.
That's huge. I mean, to, again, nerd out on this, this is like, could be the biggest announcement since the invention of soap or antiseptics. Think about how much that changed the entire world, medical community, everything like that.
Yeah, they say a highly vigilant graduate student named Yu Hong Guo, I'm probably mispronouncing that, and my apologies to somebody who deserves a little more respect than that, discovered these hydrogels unexpectedly while doing something else, and that was trying to purify water with sunlight, and then discovered this stuff, and it can even neutralize pathogens and viruses in water. It is, I know that this is a thing that if you're in your car today, may not sound that interesting.
You're kind of nodding off.
It sounds not nearly as cool as if I told you that two celebrities were getting divorced. But this literally is a thing that is happening that, like, the wheel is going to change the future of humanity.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that changes the future direction of humanity. And it happened right here in Austin. I think it's a pretty cool thing.
Question. How long before frat boys put it up their butts?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, well, you disinfected my beehole, man. See, now that you feel better. 101X, Matt and CJ. COVID update. Austin, numbers are coming down. Looking good for us.
I know, finally.
Yeah, and somebody crunched all the numbers and found out, you understand the difference between a rate and then a total number, right?
Sure.
So the highest number, the highest COVID rate, so the highest number of cases per 100,000 residents. So obviously you might have a larger total number in a place like LA or New York, huge cities like that. But the rate is how many people are sick for every 100,000 people are in that city. And it turns out that the city with the highest rate of COVID is right here in Texas.
It is?
Right here in good old Texas.
Can I make a guess that it could be my hometown of Amarillo where COVID ran rampant in the meatpacking industry and then people there just don't believe in it?
Well, that's rude. It is not Amarillo. I don't, you know, I resent you saying that. I don't know why you would want... You're so quick to take awards away from Lubbock, aren't you?
It was Lubbock!
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man, the city that drinks Amarillo's recycled crap water.
I am really just kind of loving it because in the same year that that
Tech got stomped.
The Tech scored 35, but still lost by 35. Yeah, it turns out their confirmed cases are pretty insanely high. Deaths are not horrendous. I mean, about 1,000 people have died in out of the 300,000 that live in the city. So that's good. And a nice thing that happened for Lubbock, too, even though they got hit pretty hard, it took a really long time for COVID to get to Lubbock. So what's nice in numbers like this is that we had the medical community had already gotten a lot better about treating it. And that's one of the nice things, too, is why we see our numbers not skyrocketing anymore the way it has, that we've gotten so much better at treating COVID overall. So hat tip and shout out to all the people working in the hospital taking care of us.
Yeah, and you know one of the big things that Lubbock is known for medically is their nursing schools.
Oh, really? I don't know any.
At Texas Tech, and then, yeah, that city is huge for nursing schools.
My personal experience, what is Lubbock known for? Racism. That's really what I've experienced the most, though, anytime I've been there.
Having to drunk drive a mile out of town to get your liquor.
Oh, is it dry?
Not anymore, though. They changed that recently.
Yeah.
Being flat, no water.
Yeah.
Douchey kids with rich parents.
This seems fun to kind of dunk on Lubbock.
Yeah.
We probably, in this city, we probably have 10% of the residents in Austin are probably from Lubbock. Maybe we should be careful. They moved here. They moved here for a reason.
Yeah, they wanted to get out of there just as much as everyone else.
Yeah, I went to Lubbock, and I was on my way to a wedding in Santa Fe, staying in a hotel, and I looked up, a place for dinner, and it was just like, this wine shop thing, and I was like, yeah, I don't really want food. I'd rather just have a glass of wine and some, you know what I mean?
Snacks.
Hors
d'oeuvres.
Yeah. And I went, and they're like, we're charging a cover tonight for the band. And I was okay. And I thought, well, maybe, and I hadn't even gone in the door yet. And I was like, I don't know, maybe they got a wine bar. I don't know, maybe got jazz band or something. I don't know what happens here. But yeah, I'll throw, it's $5. That's fine. And then I went in, and the band was just like this middle-aged woman who had some kind of crisis, who was singing country songs, but also belly dancing, and then wine all came out of screw top
corks
bottles
in it and busted.
And then the guy was like, "Can I bring you some food? You want chips and queso?" And I was like, "Oh man, hell yeah, dog!" And it ended up being a great time because it was fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't take myself too seriously, but it was funny that it had been listed under top locations, romantic locations or whatever.
What to do in Lubbock?
And I was just like, oh, God bless you, Lubbock. God bless you, you flat land.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
I ruined another holiday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, did it.
Congratulations.
Did it really freaking swift, too. You've probably heard me doing a little bit of bitching on air about, why are people putting up Halloween decorations so soon?
Yes, you.
It's mid-September. What the hell? And right. I was complaining, and then the day before yesterday, my fiance says, "Hey, thought you were going to handle Halloween decorations this year." And I said, "Well, I thought you were going to go to Lowe's and buy one of those big things, and we were just going to do some stuff like that." And she's like, "It's too late to do that now. They're out of everything." So yesterday, I was like, "Well, they're not out of everything. They still got the big spooky Grim Reaper that I can just plug in and that's it. I'm done. Maybe put some cobwebs up on the fence. Easy. That's all she wants is a little bit of effort to kind of make the yard look spooky." So I go to the store and guess what?
They're out of everything.
If I wanted to get something for Christmas already, I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the good stuff is gone.
Yeah. I feel like every one of your stories should just be you saying, "I'm kind of still a single guy.
Screwed up again."
I'm not going to belittle you because I don't think my brain would know these things either. I would think, well, if I want to decorate for Halloween, I guess I could go on the 29th and go grab some stuff.
Yeah, simple, right? No.
Yeah, and I've learned all this stuff by... You get redirected once you get married, and especially once you have kids, right?
Yeah.
Life gets redirected. It comes at you pretty fast, and then you're like, oh, I need to pay attention to these things. And you all, it's not so much you need to pay attention. You get to a point in your life where you want to stop hearing your spouse say, "What did I tell you?"
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I better get that done.
And I legit want to do things that make her happy. I want to do things that are nice for her. And this is something she likes and wanted. And so yesterday I lugged out my previous year's Halloween stuff.
Oh, wait, you already have Halloween stuff? Problem solved.
Kind of. I made a bunch of tombstones myself out of bricks.
Love it.
Old cardboard. But it's all this heavy concrete and a bunch of lighting and a bunch of ladder and carrying shed work and all these old wooden crosses and things that I painted Pet Cemetery on. Heavy as crap. It's hot. I gave up. So all this Halloween kind of decoration is just strewn about my front yard, and that's it.
Two things. One, can you not decorate the front yard with your corpse after your girl kills you? And secondly, I've been to your house. Isn't your neighborhood scary enough as it is?
I mean, it is, dude. And we're the guettos living in the corner house. Yeah,
you,
no.
You crack ass.
I fit in perfectly, man.
No, you don't.
Love my neighbors, and they're already getting out some spooky stuff. I mean, the other day, a guy, his car caught on fire in the side of his house. We had the robbery right in front of our house.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my drunken neighbor, Milton, was setting up a carport that tipped over onto my fence. So, you know, it's like you said, it's already spooky. Got
Here's
everything
where I'll
I need.
Hook you up. I'm sure there'll be some decorations that my family is quote unquote grown out of, and I'll just let them roll down. You know, like hand me downs? You can have hand me down decorations from the Beardens.
Here you go, honey. Some stuff that's been faded in the sun and half the light bulbs don't work.
Here's a spider that no longer jumps.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. Just 101X.
Great news coming for ballers on a budget.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me?
Because you're the only other person in the room for me
your
to talk
head
to.
And looked at me.
Do you know what a baller on a budget is?
It's not me, but it's very much an Austin type of person.
Yeah.
That we call him the $10,000 millionaires. Someone that wants to do cool, fancy, fun things, drive nice cars, but they're living in an apartment and barely affording.
Sure. Rent. Now I'm guilty. I wanted to be a baller. I was always on a budget. I wanted to be a millionaire. I just wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
And I can remember a time early on, and it still is a very, very exclusive restaurant, can be difficult to get into at times. When it first came on the scene, boof, good luck. And things have calmed down a bit, but it has continued to be a, what do you call it, an empire of a restaurant, but the whole Uchi group, you know, Uchiko. Now they have Loro with Aaron Franklin as well. But when Uchi first opened, I mean, that place was it was
the thing. It was the sushi place in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
And then people would get dressed up, and it was a see or be seen scene. And I asked a young lady out on a date who was, you know, the old term, out of your league. I mean, I felt like, I'm not quite sure that this is even going to work.
Yeah.
I saw her at a... had a Super Bowl party, that I was at a friend's house, and I just couldn't take my eyes off.
Yeah,
you know, just very attractive. And I did one of those things where, have you ever done this, where you're at a Super Bowl party, you start drinking, and maybe you drink more than you should because it's a Super Bowl party, right?
You're supposed to. It's a holiday.
But then you start getting angry at a person for being attractive, and you don't know how to talk to them.
Who are you, our coworker Chewy, right now?
Yeah, I was just like, I'm leaving. I didn't win any of the squares. Screw this. Ended up seeing this woman out again a couple times, and then I was just like, hey, I'd like to take you out sometime. And I thought, well, you know, I need to really, you know, I need to up my game on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up getting us into Uchi. Right?
Nice!
But I didn't have that kind of dough, so I was panicked, too, about, like, man, I hope they have just, like, a chicken breast that I can order.
Honey, have what you want. I'll just do this seaweed salad.
Yeah.
That's what I'm eating.
But we got so lucky because we got in, and they said, well, we kind of messed up but I can get you at the end of the bar right here. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And we happened to get to the end of the bar where Tyson Cole, who owns the restaurant, happened to be working that night. And then just out of, like, weird kindness, I was a nobody back then. He just kept handing us plates of, like, hey, try this. This is a new thing. So we were getting to eat a lot of
That's great.
Free sushi.
I used to work at a sushi place, and it was similar for the staff. We would get to try the experimental stuff
right.
that the chef was making, or the mess-ups.
So you're starting to fill up on free stuff, and that's working. And I still was nervous about this girl, but at one point, and this is where I realized I was off the hook, she was chewing. And I realized for a while she hadn't been talking. I was asking her questions and she just kept nodding or whatever. And, you know, I thought I need to impress this girl because I think this girl's probably out of my league. Has seen some things in the world that I haven't seen, but I'm going to try to play. And after a while, I looked at her and I go, we had ordered edamame. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the like green bean kind of things.
Yeah, it's soybeans. You pop them out of the little, you know, pop, pop, pop.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked around and I go, did you put the whole pea pod in your mouth? And she looked at me and she goes, and I go, you can spit it out. You can spit it out. And I was like, oh, I was like, have you never had this? She's like, no. And I said, well, I asked if you had. And you said, yes. She goes, well, I didn't know. You were here. I figured, you know. And I was like, oh, we're both ballers on a budget.
That's
aren't
kind
we?
Of a fun icebreaker.
We're both trying to fake each other out right now. So and we're both low rent bitches.
So what's the good news? You promised that the
oh
first
my God,
of this, we've got
I
some good news.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Uchiba is opening up, which is going to be. Uchi has a restaurant that's a little bit below.
Scaled back.
It's scaled back a little bit. It's a little more approachable. It's a little bit easier. So you can take your date there and you can still have that Uchi name, that Uchi service, look really good. Now, here's the only bad thing. It's not going to be open until 2022. But apparently, they've already opened one in Dallas. It's taken off.
Going
like
really well.
Gangbusters.
That's good.
And it's a nice place to go where you don't have to spend as much dough, but you still look like you know what you're doing.
Love it, but only thing is, like any good sushi place, do the rolls come out on a conveyor belt?
No. They come out, you have to bring your own rolls from HEB.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So I just saw online where I guess Yelp has teamed up with some wallpaper company and they're selecting cities and then I guess to promote small businesses, they're making wallpaper.
Like, old school, put in the kitchen wallpaper.
Yeah, we say old school. I guess wallpaper's having a moment. I'm not a chief design person, but I know that. I guess you know it's coming back. I see it in bathrooms mainly, especially like fancy places downtown.
Yeah.
They all seem to have wallpaper in their bathrooms right now.
Yeah,
I think everybody likes wallpaper because it makes a good backdrop for a selfie.
Yes, I've got a friend that's redoing her bathroom and doing the whole wallpaper thing everywhere, but then a neon sign above the toilet that says, treat yourself. I don't get it. Anyhow, that's another story for another day.
Yeah, I think it is. Treat yourself in the bathroom?
Yeah, just right over the toilet. Just go ahead, rip it, treat yourself.
I don't know what you're supposed to do there.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. I think of old toilet paper being old school as a kid.
You call it toilet paper, but you mean wallpaper.
Wallpaper.
Yeah, I guess so. This company's called ChasingPaper.com. And anyway, here's some of the businesses they selected to be their small businesses. And they're like pencil drawings. It's not bad looking. I could see it somewhere in a house, honestly. Some of the businesses that they are featuring, I'm seeing Barton Springs Picnic, Waterloo, Records.
Okay, that's good.
I'm seeing, what is this one? Oh, La Barbecue, Home Slice Pizza, Wheatsville Co-op, the Paramount Theater, a lot of these I can't read. 29th Street Ballroom. And so I guess my question for you is, if you could do your own wallpaper of the places that are special in Austin, what is there anything you might include in that?
Yeah, easily. Dell, Tesla, the University of Austin. I mean, hell, what's the bank that the Owl Building is?
The Frost the Bank Frost. Tower?
Yeah, Frost Bank.
I would want to do Hippie Hollow, the path just outside of Bull Creek, the men's room at Shoal Creek Park, all the places where there are whispering bushes cruising hubs, you know?
Hookup stacks, there you go.
It would be fun. What if you just, like, you did a small drawing of all the places you had puked in this city?
Oh, that would be very simple to find out.
Would it also be a super busy wallpaper for you?
I think so.
It's just like,
and of course, I'm going to make it scratch and sniff. Why not?
Oh,
I think that's a thing that exists.
Oh, that is horrible. I think I saw sometime that there was a weird scratch and sniff wallpaper somebody had created.
Yeah, there was something like that. And I feel like it was also related to the Garbage Pail Kids. So, you know, it wasn't good.
Anyway, they make this wallpaper. They make two versions. One is just regular wallpaper that you put up with glue, however you do that. But then they also make a peel and stick version of the wallpaper so you can put it up in a place that you rent. So you can put it up if you want to have that. And they may have other cities too, but I don't know. I part of me kind of likes the idea. Maybe I'll just do my whole bedroom. And that way, it's just basically restaurants where I like to get real fat, and it's just
what a burger, what a burger, what a burger.
Oh, that would be really nice.
Uh huh.
If it was just burger joints.
Yep.
Oh, greasy spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what if it was wallpaper? It's all the dirtiest bathrooms in Austin.
Oh, man, that would just take up the entire Red River Cultural District right there.
I know. Well, don't leave. You could also get... So all the Red River bars, yeah. And you have to include, like, the old emos.
Yeah, and the ones, like, off 8th Street, like Sidebar.
Sure.
The former Red 7.
Ginny's Little Longhorn Saloon.
Okay.
Texas Chili Parlor.
Oh, definitely. Hole in the Wall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All the it's so funny that some of the grossest bathrooms in Austin are the ones where you probably see the most coke done in them.
Well, also, it's because they're in popular places. They're all the places I like to be.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's no joke about it. The cleanest place to... do your business is a Nordstrom bathroom. We all know that.
Yeah, or if you're...
But I don't want to hang out there.
If you are downtown, South by Southwest tip, or if you're just downtown partying, go to a hotel. They don't know you're not staying there.
That is very true. It's also helpful if you're on the road driving. Last idea, maybe, wallpaper of anyone who's come up to you and said that they need $5 to get to Houston. Just all these random
just
dudes.
$5. I just need
$5 to get to Houston. You got $5? I just need $5 to get to Houston.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Damn it. Did the alt-right ruin something else?
Yeah, they did.
You made fun of me as soon as I walked in.
Absolutely, I did.
Did the alt-right Richard Spencer Wads ruin...
Yes, they did.
...a good haircut?
They did ruin a good, decent, high and tight haircut.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a haircut that...
works.
It's a classic. It's cool. It's comfortable. It's what you would probably see men or servicemen in the 50s, what they had. There was a period in the 2000s where a lot of soccer players kind of had this haircut.
It was big in the 20s and 30s.
Absolutely. And now it's big with white supremacists.
Yeah. A little long on top. You can, wet it down, whatever. Swipe it to the side, what have you. And then, you get a nice clipper cut on the sides. And especially in Texas, to have breeze on your head... Oh, it's nice. It's so much better than rocking the long locks. But I will tell you, yes, the moment I walked in, I was like, am I supposed to Sig Heil you? I don't understand what's going on. You've got the full-on...
alt-right Nazi haircut. And it just sucks because you've explained why I love this haircut. And
you look like one of those, especially your body shape... And no offense, nobody's in control of their race or their skin tone. We know that if you're a reasonable person. So I can't hold it against you, but you do look like one of those Charlottesville kids.
Yeah, I just need to start carrying a torch
mosquito
around.
Mosquito tiki torch or something.
Yeah, it's a bummer because even... I can grow a beard pretty quick, and I'm very hairy, so I like a good clean haircut because it grows out so fast. And
yeah,
then
but that haircut with a big full beard looks like that meme guy now. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I looked even worse today because I shaved my beard this week and had a thick, goofy mustache. And I was like, I'm going to do this Tom Selleck stash at the festival this weekend. And then when I got home from my haircut, I looked in the mirror. And I don't know if you've ever watched the first Indiana Jones, but there's a scene where he's on top of a moving plane and this Nazi with the Goebbels haircut is actually what this could be.
Yeah.
Walks up to him. He's got that thick mustache and this haircut. And that dude's a little more built than I am. But I saw that in the mirror and I was like, I look like a racist. Right now, I'm shaving this damn mustache. Well, nothing I can do about the hair.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hitler ruined a mustache, but it was a silly, goofy mustache that nobody wanted.
Charlie Chaplin's. Yeah.
Well, Charlie Chaplin made it. He wore that mustache late. Yeah. I'm not going to. That's one thing. But yeah, that haircut, I mean, it's the haircut I rock too from time to time. But you do feel, when you walked in, I just started riddling you too. I was just like, did you get a free subscription to Joe Rogan's podcast for that haircut?
Well,
where do you go to get your haircut? At the Black Rifle Coffee Company? Just so many things I could stop.
Last year at some of the protests, I did get some looks. Because here's what I look
what
like.
Protests?
At the,
what protests?
The protests downtown last year, during the middle of everything.
You went to protests?
Yeah.
You went and walked?
Yeah.
You walked somewhere in a protest?
Yes. Not you far in, your, my, yeah. my, in the middle
you,
of summer.
I don't know. But, did you? How about this? You Ubered to a protest, got out, stood there, and then called
right,
a car to come get you?
This is pretty cool. I'm out. no, but I instantly realized why I was getting weird looks, because I'm a Peckerwoodish white boy. I got a chunky tummy,
yeah.
and I've got tattoos all over my arms, which make me instantly look like one of those Boogaloo boys. one of the guys who were never quite good enough to be a police officer, didn't quite make it into the military, but still like to act and dress the part. I looked like a damn alt-right Boogaloo boy, and no wonder everyone in the Austin protest is like, who is this son of a bitch?
Yeah, it's true. It does not look like you can lift any weight.
No, not at all.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
The Prop A drama continues.
Oh, no. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but what's the update?
Yeah, so Prop A, if people don't know, it's a proposition on the ballot measure coming up here that we would increase funding for police, but it's tied to some certain kind of hard numbers. And it's expensive, but a lot of people obviously are pro the Prop A and increasing the funding for police in the city. And like three ex-mayors came out yesterday in
favor of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And a city council member. And then a little birdie, we talked about it yesterday, and then I was like, I don't even know anything about this, really. I just noticed that it was on the horizon, seemed like something. And then a little birdie reached out to me via the emails.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
And who shall remain nameless, but an article came out today. The Austin Firefighters Association have come out against Prop A. And they're saying, look, we stand by our brothers and sisters that are in the police force. But they say Nix, who's in charge of the Firefighters Association, said, firefighters are very disturbed by the disrespect shown to men and women of the police department as of late. However, it's a poorly written law that contains cost escalators, something called uncommitted time requirement, which is over my head and I don't understand. But it says it would likely push the cost of the measure well beyond that what would be needed. Now, here's my question about that. If you've got firefighters coming out and saying no, the firefighters union, and the yeah. police union is out saying yes,
do it. That's some conflict, man. That gets a little greasy.
You're taking a serious bent on this. I just want to know. I want to know if they're going to fight in the streets.
I mean, this is going to be Gangs of New York style, going after each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's not good.
Now, I think I'm an expert in conflict resolution.
A little bit.
And I want to put something out there that I think would not only solve the issue between these two groups, but I think might bring together the whole Austin community and provide a service really to anyone who doesn't have to live in the downtown area but can get to the downtown area.
Okay.
Boom.
You got me hooked. What do we do? How can we help?
Old school, old fashioned, cops on one side of Town Lake, firefighters on the other side of Town Lake.
I know where you are going.
Tug of war.
Tug of war between the fire department and the police department.
Plus, for that day, gambling is legal. So a lot of us have to pay rent in a pretty expensive town, but we get to put money, especially once we see everybody out there. Now, sometimes cops look pretty big, but bulletproof vest adds a little chunk.
Flak jacket, all that, yeah. Firefighters, they're climbing ladders.
Jacked. Those guys are usually pretty jacked.
Oh, they have those little test
and
stations
ladies,
where they literally
not leaving the ladies out of
fire
this.
People. They have those towers around town they set on fire, and those always have the rope climb. So if you can pull your own body weight up on a rope, you can pull a bunch of cops into Town Lake. My money's going with the fire department.
Well, I'm not even telling you where I'm putting my money. I'm just saying, charge a little bit of entry. A whole city can come down and watch. You charge for VIP seating or something like that. Then you've got betting going on. Everybody on the corner. I got five on it. I got five on it. I got 10. I got 20, right? So now you got all these hustlers are on each street corner. They're all making a little scritch, which is happy for them,
yeah.
right?
And
then you have the free area where just regular Austinites can hang out. We'll climb up on the new Google building. Google building. That's a big building. We use all that extra space and scaffolding just to walk. watch this. And now we're actually doing some good. We're bringing the weird back to Austin.
Yeah, we're a community, we're a people, and then this pandery, fear-mongering Prop A might not even be needed because we could possibly sell sponsorships and raise money that way since this is going to be such a huge thing.
I'm walking around selling tacos. Look, I've got this all figured out. What city council needs to do is occasionally stop bickering, come over to my house, chill out, have a taco, smoke a J. I'll give them some of my ideas. We'll fix this town,
baby.
Don't
love it, man.
We'll get it fixed.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Huge ACL Fest giveaway coming up in the next 15 minutes, courtesy of Miller Lite. But first, Matt, I just got a text. I guess your mom's in town.
That is rude. You're trying to suggest that you're hooking up with my mom. And that is rude to do to yourself. No offense. I love my mom. My mother is a... if anybody ever meets my mom, she's so nice and kind. But I think everyone's always shocked that I made it to adulthood because my mother is just like, she's out there. She's on another planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in town because my wife has taken my niece, who drove in town with my mother, and my daughter to go to the
Phoebe Bridgers. Come on, man. We play
concert
here on the station.
I know, but I get tongue-tied when I say her name. Phoebe Bridgers taping tonight. And she's at home, actually, with my son right now. And I remember she came one time to help me with my son. And my wife and daughter were going to be out of town. My son was 4 or 5 weeks old. And she was like, because I was doing a morning show, and I had to sleep, try to get some sleep at night. She thought, well, I'll come and help, and I'll do the nighttime changing. Except she's deaf. She can't hear anything.
So she never knows when the kid's crying.
Yeah, so I got up in the middle of the night, and at that time, my son would only eat carrots. I just remember that because I was changing the diaper, and my mother finally heard us, and then she tried to burst in to help. And I'm like, it's okay, I already got it. And she was like, no, let me help. And I was like, you don't have to help. I've already got it. She's like, no, let me help. And she wouldn't stop trying to help.
Yeah.
And she ended up knocking the diaper over, and then the orange poop goes everywhere, which she then stepped into, and it made this mess into the carpet. And I was like, you're not actually helping at all, Mom, you know? And she drives me nuts, too, because she's always had this thing about, do you smell that? So the next morning, we woke up, and we were going to try to go to brunch. She wanted to go to this brunch place. She's a foodie. But you know how it is, brunch in Austin? And
it's
I have a little kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got to go there when they open. If we want to go to brunch, we are not trying to go there at noon.
And stand
not
in line.
Not going to happen with this kid. And the next morning, she'd overslept, and I was like, Mom, we got to go. We got to go. And I'm just yelling at her from another room, like, get up. And she's like, well, I need to take a shower. I was like, we don't have time. We have got to go. We've got to go right now to this brunch. And she keeps going, I smell poop. And I was getting so mad at her. You know how everyone gets mad at their mom?
Yeah,
even though
yeah.
you love your mom.
Oh,
you
my
just,
God, but they annoy the crap out of you.
I was just like, shut up. Because even when I was a kid, she was always like, do you smell cat pee in the house? I was like, what do you...
Like,
I
yeah, there's
poop.
We're
like,
around a kid. Kids do that.
Yeah,
of
and I'm
course.
Just like, maybe my house was like, I don't know, but I was just like, Mom, we gotta go. We gotta go. And she was making me really angry because she just kept going, do you smell poop? We get in my car and I'm trying to load the kid in there. And you know, loading a car seat and all that. And my mother's just like, it smells like poop out here too. And I was like, Mom.
Oh, you got a dog.
I know what my mother's doing. She just has these olfactory hallucinations, and I'm just getting pissed off, right?
You're stressed trying to get the kid down there, get him loaded, not have to wait in line in the sun, and
plus
get in his lunch place.
I had to clean up this huge orange streak that was
in
the carpet and everything. And I'm just like, Mom, let's go. And we get in the car.
And she won't shut up.
We get in the car, and she goes, smells like poop in the car. And I knew she, because she's passive aggressive, I popped the car into park as I'm backing out of the driveway, because I'm turning to her to go, Mom, here's the deal. We're not doing this all morning. I love you, but you don't get to
We're
do this all
this.
Morning.
No,
right?
This is annoying as crap.
And when I put it in park and I look over at her, a woman who I didn't allow to shower or get ready that morning because we were in a hurry, I look over at her and I notice that across her nose and cheek is this bright carrot-colored orange stain across her face.
Disgusting.
I go, oh, Mom, I found the problem. You got poop on your face, girl.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
512-835-1015. Keep calling. If you don't get through, keep on calling because, Matt, this is a huge prize. Courtesy of our friends at Miller Lite. Check this out.
Oh, is it the autographed picture of Matt and CJ?
You know, I'm going to throw that in.
Okay.
Okay. It's actually a Friday ACL Fest pass for one, a Saturday ACL Fest pass for one, a Sunday pass for one. Oh, and on top of that, we're setting you up with a custom record player and a pass that gets you into the Miller Lite hospitality area.
That's the area where you can kind of get access to the stage and watch a show from the side of the stage.
From the side of the stage, you have free brews, and of course, what we love very much, those bathrooms with air conditioning in it.
Well, also, I don't know if the GP, as we call them, general population, knows this, but there was actually a Matt and CJ sighting in the Miller Lite hospitality area last week.
And there might be this week. So you got to be over the age of 21. And Matt, you would say this is a pretty big give, right?
Sure.
Okay.
There's also an LP, you mentioned it, but the record player is pretty cool.
The record player's tight.
We have him backstage we won't have him now because we're giving away.
We're giving away tomorrow.
We had him for display in the backstage area all last year, last weekend.
I mentioned last night that I stayed up late doing some show prep, getting ready for things. And I was like, you know what? This is a big giveaway. So I went through my best contest and picked something. And you're going to be mad at me because you always say I do things over the top, too complicated. But I feel like a prize this big, someone's going to have to go through some hoops. Have you ever heard the phrase, can't rub two nickels together? This has nothing to do with that. I'm literally just going to flip a coin. People are going to call heads or tails.
God, this is so is
caller, who's this?
You're just doing 50-50 with people?
Augie,
are you excited to go to ACL Fest?
Well, hell yeah.
Okay, man, caller right now, heads or tails?
Go ahead.
Oh, Augie, so close. Caller, who's this?
I had a great trivia question we could do.
Caller.
Yes.
Hi, who's this?
This is Melissa.
Melissa, do you want to go to ACL Fest and party in the Miller Lite Zone with your favorites, Matt and CJ, and even Spinny?
Hell yes.
Okay, I like that. All right. I am spinning the nickel right now. Call heads or tails.
We could have done a head-to-head. We could have...
heads or tails?
Heads.
You know, I thought this was going to go a little bit longer, but congratulations, you're a winner! Yes! You are going to ACL Fest, courtesy of Miller Lite. That comes with the wristbands, the record player, and a lot of fun. You just got to be able to come up to the radio station, pick them up tomorrow. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. More Matt and CJ.
That is...
on this station.
That's the contest you spent time working on and you came up with?
No, man, I thought of that on the way in. Flip a coin.
I had a whole thing about the history of vinyl and LPs and EPs because we were giving away the record player.
Yeah.
Whole thing. It would have been really interesting. Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how things go on the Matt and CJ show.
Here's more from just Matt and CJ.
Huge developments with the COVID vaccine. Huge developments.
Big boobs, like they just make some lumps.
Don't make jokes. Huge developments with the COVID vaccine. And
I just made a joke and it's going to be bad.
And what it has to do with imposter syndrome.
Okay.
You know what imposter syndrome is?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Here, first part is the vaccine. There is a lawmaker in New Hampshire, and he is warning people. His name is Kenneth Weiler. And he's mailed out a 52-page report that he wrote that is giving proof beyond a reasonable doubt that the vaccines contain, quote, living organisms with tentacles that he has seen.
What?
And he says that he has uncovered a plot by the Vatican, London, and Washington, D.C. to control people's thoughts with 5G technology. The whole thing has been a plot all along.
Yeah, 52 pages. It's got to be legit.
Huge puppet theater, he says.
Peer reviewed.
The majority of the people are already being played. And probably most damning, and the thing that really does concern me quite a bit, and you might want to be concerned with, I know that you're getting married. I don't know what your plans are with your beautiful bride. But he reports that the babies of vaccinated parents are being born with pitch black eyes And we now have a nation of very young toddlers that can stand and even walk at only 3 months old.
Are you kidding me? I mean, that sounds like those babies from the myths, the children with the black eyes that wander the streets and knock on old farmhouses and ask if they can get inside.
Yeah.
That's what we're about to give birth to. Why did I get this vaccine? Why didn't this guy write this paper before so I would have been more educated? Educate yourself. And I didn't.
Now, what does this have to do with imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome is when, you know what? Never mind.
You're not quite sure? Imposter syndrome is a lot of times people are like, am I good enough to do my job?
Yeah.
Or sometimes you're like, hey, you need a job. You look up the requirements, you know, when someone's posted a job listing.
And you're like, I can't do that.
You go, they're looking for someone better than me.
I don't...
It says they need 5 years experience, and I have 5 years, but there's somebody out there who's better than me.
You know how I know I don't have imposter syndrome and I'm not good enough to do this job? Because when you asked me about that, all I could think about was Inspector Gadget. I know.
So you think you do have... Oh, you... No.
I know I don't, because instead of my brain trying to figure out what imposter syndrome was, I was like, oh, Inspector Gadget.
Here's what I wanted to say to anybody out there that has imposter syndrome, and it can be in any job you have, or you can think, hey, maybe I'm not a good parent or whatever. This dude is making 6 figures a year and has been elected to be... He's like a senator for the state or whatever. This dude is making good money.
Oh, man. That's
good money.
So this isn't that guy that comes up to the radio station in the van with writing all over it that hands us a manifesto every couple of months.
It is that guy, but look
but
at
he's rich.
Yeah.
He doesn't live in his van. He's also an elected official who thinks there's squids. Did he say that? He saw squids in the vaccine.
He said that there were living organisms that have tentacles that are living inside of the vaccine. I'm just saying... that the next time that you tell yourself,
I can't do it, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough, or what, I won't be able to get through this week, or you know what, I shouldn't have that. I don't deserve to get a promotion. They're offering me a promotion at work, but I don't deserve it. Somebody else deserved that promotion before me. I'm not good enough.
Yep.
Look yourself in the mirror and remember, this dude, and I don't know where he read it, this report he put together, he's doing that thing where you attach... tacks to the wall and strings and everything.
Yeah.
He's
Charlie Day and Sonny.
A little part of me has some compassion because I think he's kind of maybe lost it here. He's been on the computer too much. Who knows what's going on exactly? But
you gotta get off the internet sometimes because you will start coming
this
up
guy,
with stuff
I
like
guarantee
this.
You, this guy hosts meetings where people pay $1,000 a plate to go to a dinner to get
to
a
listen
meeting
to
with
him
this guy.
About this stuff.
Yeah, so when you have imposter syndrome, remember, look, the world is not filled with as many, I don't know, it doesn't have that many smarter than you people, probably.
Indeed.
And then you shouldn't think, hey, if somebody's in a position of power, they must be that much better than me. Because old Goofy Tooth over here believes that there are tiny octopuses inside of stuff.
Little baby squids.
That somehow then communicate with 5G, and it's all plot hot. Yeah, oh, it is. It's so deep. I would love to get my hands on this 52-page quote-unquote report. A lot of the politicians in his state are being pretty kind to him, and they're just saying, look, we need to chill, dude. We need to chill, and they're saying we don't want to disseminate it because we don't want to make fun of them. We think there might be something going on. You think?
Oh, yeah.
But more
power. He could be going through a divorce. When people do that, they turn to the internet and get weird. But I am confused, though. What did all this have to do with Inspector Gadget again?
No, that's you. You're the idiot.
Oh.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It's October. I did not do well today at all. In fact, I'm falling behind, and I'm now worried I'm putting myself in such a hole that I'm really going to have to taco it up next week. But
Do not worry.
I just saw your Instagram.
So, Talktober, by the way, is this thing that you and I talked about a decade ago. You and I started talking about it 8 or 9 years ago, and we finally decided to do it. I'm eating a taco, at least one taco, every single meal that I have during the month of October. There's three ways to play. There's that way. Then there's at least one taco every single day for the month of October. That'd be 31 tacos total. Or, finally,
fit in 31.
Just fit in 31 tacos, leisure. However you want to. Now, which method are you going with?
31 tacos. So much like anything I have to do at work or when I was in college, I'm going to wait till the last minute
and just
cram.
Eat 30 tacos in one day. I'll tell you this. I love tacos, and I thought this was going to be a walk in the park. And
dude, your Instagram looks great.
Well,
you've had good variety.
Maybe, but my body is starting to look at things like pizza and other, you know, and it's like, oh,
you're going to get your fill.
It's a lot of tacos. It's a lot of tacos.
I will say on your at Talktober Instagram, I want to give you props. Like, I already know you know places. We all do. We live right off Runberg. But any place that, like, bags their sauce and twists it up like that.
Oh, from Jefe's?
Any place like that is, you know, is legit.
Oh, their salsa comes in what looks like the same kind of condoms that somebody puts heroin in and then swallows.
And smuggles, yeah.
Yeah, I will occasionally order and I'll make eyes at the little lady behind the counter and I'll get a couple extra salsas because her salsa is, God, that salsa
good.
There is
so
good. And it's a big highlight. Yeah, I'm shocked that I've been cooking as many tacos. I thought I'd just be going out for everything. And I think next week, it's been kind of weird starting this off and then being in between the two ACL weekends, plus stuff with my kids and school and homecoming and all that.
You're busy all weekend, so you can't just make excuses to pop out.
I'm going to start getting out there and hitting more places. Look, if you're out and you're enjoying tacos during the month of Talktober, you should be tagging me in on Instagram, Talktober. Mm-hmm. TACTOBER. Yeah. Don't just send me a picture. When you do that, I can't really share it the same way. When you tag me into something, I can repopulate it. Yeah. I want this to be a community-driven thing. Also, send me your suggestions. I want all your suggestions. I may not make them all this month, but they'll go on a permanent list.
Yeah, I would love to know the places to hit up.
We decided, September 30th? Like, hey, I'm going to do Talktober this year. So I didn't really have a lot of run-up time to this. But next year, I'll populate this. I'll learn some of my mistakes or whatever. And then next year,
it'll become a tradition.
We'll have a big to-do about it. But it's been fun. I've hit a couple places. A couple people have invited me out to go to lunch with them or whatever, which I'm stoked about. I made a taco that was so good last night that I ended up remaking the same taco
again
today.
In the morning.
Yeah, it was so good. Now, I only have one thing I have to say about Talktober.
Yes.
I've only eaten tacos now. Only tacos. I had a pozole soup on the side or stuff like that, but primarily
7 days straight.
Primarily just tacos for 7 days straight.
Yeah. How is that affecting you?
And in that, I have had a whole lot of roasted jalapenos,
ooh,
sliced jalapenos,
yum,
stewed jalapenos,
even better,
raw serrano mixed with chipotle. My stomach is not happy as of day 7.
Yeah, man, you went too hard too fast.
It is really, I really should have paced out because I went with all the hottest tacos right up front because I love it. My stomach has begun to write little notes that say, we will go on strike very soon. Now, ordinarily,
it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
In the middle of just also thinking of the fact that I only have 1 week down and I have like 100 and some odd more tacos to go.
Yeah.
Seems a little exhausting.
Hey, man, take it a day at a time. One day at a time.
Well, I have to take it one day at a time, and this is where I have to be careful. Because my stomach feels a little weak today. Where am I headed for the next 3 days?
ACL Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where don't you want to be when your body decides to go on strike and just blows out the doors?
In a hot park with hundreds of thousands of people.
And you're just sitting in a portlet. I'm really having... You suggested earlier that I just make a salsa out of Pepto-Bismol.
Crunch up some
Pepto or whatever and have a Pepto taco. And at first that sounded funny. But I may have to do that tonight. That may be tonight's dinner.
It's
a Pepto taco. Yeah.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Back at ACL Fest this weekend, Matt, weekend two. You got any highlights, lowlights, things you're going to do differently this week?
I'm definitely going to prepare for more sun. a lot of rain last week, and I'm going to prepare for more sun, and I don't know. I've got to get out. You know, last week, we'd started Talktober, and I just didn't eat at the festival, really, so I went kind of over on the tacos. I got to get out, hit more tacos, and I got a couple of acts I wanted to check out, and then some stuff that I don't know what it is at all that I guess I'll go
just
check
wanna
out.
Just want to walk around. Yeah, it sucks walking around when it's hot, and it's such a pain, but weekend two is always my weekend to really explore, because we don't have as many interviews in the back. Just like you, I want to hit up Taco Broncho. We've got the beer hall with OU Texas game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And a lot of acts that I haven't seen before that I've kind of put down in my notepad that I've heard great things about. So I want to wiggle around this year, or this weekend. It felt like a year. Definitely going to drink water and eat. I'm not going to repeat.
Not going to make those mistakes you made last week?
Yeah, not going to repeat that Friday low light at all.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to get around more.
All right. Well, I trust you on that.
Will I put action? Will I put words into action?
Yeah,
we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, my family was out of town last weekend, so I was just kind of traveling on my own. Wife and kids back in town this weekend, so that should be interesting because, you know, the morning will be filled with Dad, I need this.
Dad, I need this,
and then I got to break away and then go get in work mode.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
And you're going to be like, Dad needs Tylenol. It's what he needs.
Oof. Dad's going to still need some Pepto, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Talktober will take it out of you, especially at ACL Fest. Hot, dusty. But damn it, it's fun. So many of my friends are like, oh, can you get me in? Can you get me in? Like, who do you think I am? Like, I bitch about it, but I love the festival. I love being down there. It reminds me of when I first moved to Austin. And we are working, but we're also having fun.
Hell
but
yeah,
I need to stop bitching about it. And no, I have zero power to get you in there. We can't get our significant others or your kids in there. I'm not getting a friend from college I haven't seen in 10 years in there.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah,
maybe, anybody can call me. I can get anybody in.
You know what? Maybe
I got tons
of
power, dude.
Oh, that's right.
I'm 50 of my friends. I'm getting in.
Hell yeah! Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Live broadcast from backstage at ACL Fest, and of course,
can I get you to help me with something?
Oh yeah. What do you need?
I need to lift up on a fence because I have like 50 friends. I got to get into the
show.
Just get
some wire cutters.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
All right.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons 3 to 6, 101X.